Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's the Doom Slayers.
Yes, that's right. Our first live show is happening at Mayo Pride. How exciting.
I prefer ketchup.
We'll be bringing a special version of our cosmically acclaimed podcast with additional sketches, musical numbers, and of course, a lot of doom to slay on the 1st of June 2024.
Tickets are
8 euro and 0, 0 cents.
And are available on
www.mayopride.com.
Get your tickets now and slay it to our faces!
I was reading reviews for the strip club and loads of people have been spiked there and beaten up because it was run by the mafia and dropped off at various parts of Warsaw.
Oh!
So I actually got away pretty lucky.
Welcome to Doom Slayers, the podcast where we ponder and pontificate on the horrors of being a Homo sapien and what can feel like the conclusion of our earthly presence. My name is Annie Queries.
I'm Leila Beatty.
And I'm Donna Fella.
And together, we are three loose women here to guide you through the doom and gloom of our dystopian present with an asinine antidote of appalling advice so you may slay away the modern malaise. This week, we will be discussing and dissecting drink. The demon drink.
Drink. Feck. Arse. Girls.
I've been drinking watermelon.
I can't believe we just referenced Father Ted.
I can't believe we haven't.
That's true, actually, yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about booze, girls.
Knew you'd know where to find the booze and the boys.
I mean, I actually think this constitutes a national doom, a national historical...
a collective shared doom.
Yeah. And yeah, it's been a curse and also kind of like a blessing.
Alcohol has.
For like Irish heritage and identity, like it's literally the potatoes and alcohol are the two things that everybody thinks about.
And sometimes potato alcohol.
Yeah. Which we have. What?
Would you change it?
No, because it's a bit gas, isn't it?
Well... it is, and it definitely brings a lot of fun and stuff, but it is kind of shocking how entangled drinking is with our psyche and culture.
Oh, you know? The most unhealthy relationship ever, apart from all the other bad relationships.
Well,
that
I thought we were
have.
Coming on here to talk about the highs of drinking. I'm not sure I want to do this.
No, see, the thing is with alcohol is like, it kind of like creates and solves problems. Mm-hmm. And it like creates doom but also slays. Do you know? It's like it's such a complicated thing.
Yeah, it's a useful tool, definitely. You know? So obviously there's the losing of inhibitions that we all seek. And
booze
that's...
in, having a few laughs.
I remember actually back in school when my religion teacher was talking about, we were all talking about drinking at the age of like, you know, 15, 16 or whatever. And everyone was a bit cagey about saying it, like, you know. Uh-huh. She was like, it's okay, you can tell me, you know, I just want to talk about it. So I was like, I do, yeah. And she was like, and why do you do it? And I was like,
like, just like makes more like confident and stuff. And like, you know, it's like fun and all this.
And she was like, but why do you need it? And I was like, oh. And that has stuck with me forever. It's like, oh, well, why do you need that? Why do you need that boost up the bum to like... put yourself out there or be uninhibited and these kind of things, you know?
Yeah. I think I'm exactly the same when I'm drunk. Like, I'm not being...
I think
I'm
you're more sober when you're drunk, to be honest.
You're a nicer person when you're drunk.
Yeah. That is very true. Yeah.
Well, I when I was a child... not child, oh my God, what am I talking about? No, when I was a teenager...
when I was a young boy. Yeah.
Mother switched me straight from the breast onto the whiskey.
No. Yeah. To the baby shower.
Well, they used to actually give babies whiskey to like quiet them down.
Yeah, soothe the teething, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm. But when I actually started drinking much later than a lot of my friends. Well, I say friends, I had two.
Was that because of prohibition?
I was just sick of having to do the poutine myself.
Where did a young boy get some alcohols in the 1920s? It was so hard to find giggle water.
Giggle
Bad gin.
Oh, I started on the rubbing alcohol first. Yeah, no, because I was this stubborn about peer pressure and I never wanted to do anything feeling under peer pressure. Mm-hmm. And that's why I had a mullet for 7 years. I would not have it removed. But same with drinking. And like, so there was like, I think I probably started when I was like, probably started when I was like 17. And by then, like I'd had like maybe 3 or 4 years of having to like be so strong and, you know, in any kind of social situation that I found myself in where people were drinking, I'd have to just, you know, suffer it. And they'd all be like getting locked and having all these sort of like, it seemed like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I would just be there just feeling like awkward as fuck and just like hating every, hating it. And just being like, but also just not feeling ready to do what they were doing either.
Yeah.
And then when I eventually started, I think there was definitely a part of me that was like, oh, thank God, I don't have to be strong anymore. I could just be a mess as well.
Yeah. But why were you being strong?
I don't know. It was just something I decided to do.
Tell me.
Oh, my God.
You thought you were better than everyone else, didn't you?
I was such a goody two-shoes that I just was like, I just thought it was like bold. And I just was like so afraid to get in trouble. But no, it was more that I just didn't want to feel pressured. I didn't want to be controlled by anyone. So I just was like, you know what? I'm going to wait until I'm ready. And then, boy, was I ready when I started.
She came into the world.
Yeah.
And she conquered.
Well, I don't know if the world conquered her, I think. But sure, look.
Yeah, I started drinking at 15. But I remember, like, I was the third child. And I, like... Yeah, I think my mom was just about wrecked of having rules by then. So I used to ask for like a bottle of Wicked and she'd think, oh, well, that's good. At least she's asking me for the drink when she goes to a party. And then the Wicked would be used as a mixer, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I did get towed home once. My friends had to call my dad because they were throwing glasses of water over my face and they still couldn't wake me up.
Oh, God.
Well, actually, they called my mom, which like afterwards I was like, do you not know enough about me not to call my mother? Call my father. But yeah. But then I think that's a good thing sometimes because I was like 16 when that happened and I was like in my local village and they called my mom. Whereas like if I'd done that when I went to college, God knows what would have happened. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like I got that one out of my system where it was like so bad that I was nearly in hospital getting my stomach pumped.
Yeah, you have to figure out the measure of yourself, don't you? And
before you have too much freedom, especially when like, you're coming to another place for college. Like,
well, you see it a lot of the time with people who might have had, you know, stricter upbringings. Yeah. And by the time they get to college, they're a fucking mess.
Yep.
They don't know how to, like, handle themselves with, like, drink and any other substances that might be available to them. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, my parents were quite relaxed about drinking and I didn't have much interest, like, as a kid and stuff. You know, my sister would love like dipping her finger in the wine and all that kind of crack.
Well, as a child?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, my sister.
I love when kids do
my
that.
Sister had an awful lick for it. Still does. But yeah, like my mom was always very like, she'd let me like have a pint of something like, you know, at things like, or like a little Smirnoff Ice or a little Wicked or whatever.
What age would you be at this
Stage? By the time she got onto that, I'd already kind of started drinking. But yeah, I remember the first night I ever got drunk was actually my sister's 18th. So I was 15 and it was like me and my cousin and mom was like, you can have one or two drinks now, you know. So I had like, went up to the bar, had like a Bulmers. I literally remember every drink I had. I had like 2 pints of Bulmers and then mom and dad left. And as they were leaving, me and my cousin were getting like, we were either getting like vodka Red Bull or like shots or something. I can't remember. But I had like 6 drinks basically. And I was ossified. Like, and I remember like the first time looking in the mirror and seeing myself drunk. And you know that thing of like looking in the mirror when you're drunk and you're like, yeah. Yes. I remember being like, what's going on? Just mad like. And it was funny as well because it was like my sister's year. So they were all like the older, cooler kids in school.
Oh, yeah.
And I was amazed because I was like talking to everyone, which I would never do. I was like, I'd never talk to any of these people because I was like, you know, a little freak loser kid in high school.
Yeah. But I think that is the big part of it as well, because like when I started, I was like, I kind of was like finally a sense of like belonging in a sense, you know, because like I always felt like so. And when everybody else was drinking and I wasn't, I was like, well, I'm just, you know, stepping out of that culture. But now I'm in it and now I can like relate to people and I can like share this
experience with them.
Yeah, well, it's definitely like a social acceptance. I remember like people used to hate our group in school because like we were the drinkers. Like we were every weekend. It was like, where are we going to go? Where are we going to do to drink and stuff? And I remember like this like bitchy little thing started up from these jealous bitches. No, but
they'd be like, say their names.
Name them.
No, name them. Like, they'd be like, oh, don't sit with them at lunch. All they talk about is the parties that they're going to and the drinks that they had last weekend and how drunk they were and all. And like now I'm like, yeah, they were dead right. But like at the time I was like, fuck you anyway, Angela.
Stadia Angela. Angela.
Just because your mom won't buy you a bottle of Wicked, Angela.
Nerd. Okay, so does anyone have any specific doom? I mean, personally, I have a whole back catalogue I can choose from. But does anything in particular spring to mind?
Yeah, this is one of those things where like it's there's so much to choose from that I don't know what to choose.
There's a lot, I think the most catastrophic thing that ever happened to me was during my time in France. I don't know if I ever mentioned, but I used to live in France.
Oh my God, wow. How have I been living with you this long and I never knew?
Cut forward 10 minutes, everyone. No, but me and some of the girls who were where were they? They were in Vienna. They were like, oh, we should go somewhere like for a little weekend. So we were like, we'll go somewhere, random little city. So we ended up going to Warsaw, which was not top of the list, but we were like, ah, sure, it'd be fun. But the way it was working out, I'd fly in a day early. So I was like, grand, like, what's the worst that could happen? Well, so I got there, I like booked into a hostel and I was like the only person in the room and I was like on my phone or whatever. And I was like, you know, I might just stay in now and like, you know, wait till tomorrow and rest up and in the room anyways. And I was going to settle in for the night. And then this guy came in who was Scottish and we started chatting to him or whatever. And we were just like, he was like, yeah, I'm traveling around. And I was like, oh, cool. So he was like, do you want to go down to the bar and see what it's like? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I went down to the bar. Fast forward like a couple of hours and a lot of drinks later. Bear in mind, we're in Poland, so like everything is cheap.
Oh, yeah. And everyone was probably buying made drinks. Money buying drinks.
Yeah. And fast forward, anyways, a couple of hours, and I'm like in the smoking area, like bashing the roof, singing Rattle and Bog with some girl from France.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah. So the whole place is hopping. And I was like, where are we going next, lads? And I was like, oh, there's like this party that's like in the city that one of the Polish guys was on about. And I was like, yeah, we'll go there. I just want to get cigarettes. So I like...
Sorry, I thought you meant you were going to the party to get cigarettes. I was like, surely there are easier ways.
No,
sorry.
I was like, I'll go get cigarettes like out in the street before we all go, you know? And I met this Italian guy that was in the hostel or whatever. He was like, oh, will you get me a box as well? And he gave me like whatever, some schlotti. And I was like, cool. So I went out in the street and it was pretty like deserted and there was like one person on the street. I was like, sorry, do you know where I can buy cigarettes? And they were like, oh, you have to go to the strip club. And I was like, oh, okay, grand. I was like, is it free? And they were like, yeah, yeah. You like girls? And I was like, yeah.
Sure. I think I've met a few.
So went into the strip club then. And the like madame of the house brought me in and sat me down and assigned me a girl.
I think the madame of a house is so, they're fab, aren't
oh,
they?
So glam. Yeah,
yeah.
So I got assigned a girl then and basically I bought like cigarettes off her. She was like serving me, but like she was gassed because she was obviously like, you know, trying to sweet me up, so to speak. And she kept like everything I said. She was like, you're so funny.
And like, which was obviously a lie.
Yeah. never. That's how I knew she was a trickster.
That was the first warning sign. Yeah.
But I remember even being like on my phone and like going through my photos and she was like, who's that? And I was like, oh, that's my boyfriend or whatever. And she was like, oh, you're so cute together and all this. So like all the signs were there, you know. So eventually the madame comes up and she's like, do you want to buy Veronica a drink? And I was like, ah, yeah, sure. If she's thirsty, I'll buy her a drink.
Runny.
And she's like, yeah, that'll be like 120 zloty, which is like 40 euro or something. And
what?
I was like, that's a very expensive drink. She's like, you buy a drink, you do what you like. And I was like, oh, no, there won't be any need for that now. It's all no. Yeah. I only came in here to get cigarettes. And then she started getting really like annoyed. And she's like, no, you have to and all this. And I was like, no, I'm fine. And it was kind of going into this back and forth. And I was like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do? But anyways, I got out of it. I think eventually they just were like, yeah, go on. So and they like removed me. So then I was like out in the street. So I was very locked at this stage. So I was like, oh, I'll just find my way to the party. So like the homing signal was kicking in, yes, to an address in Warsaw that I didn't know and had obviously never been to before. So
but
I was,
at this point, you could see polarized light like a pigeon. Yeah. So you knew what direction to go.
Aurora Borealis. Yeah. Yeah. Follow that star, no matter how far.
Impossible.
So as I'm walking, I think the blackout starts to kick in. And then there's like a haze of like, I was just getting like snapshots of things that were happening. So I was like in a taxi at one stage and then I was like, oh, did I get sick or something? I don't know. Flash forward anyways. And I wake up and I'm like hunched on like in this like real Soviet apartment blocks. It's snowing. Oh. And there's people like walking the dogs and I'm like sitting there in my fur coat, like shivering, going like, where
oh my
I?
God. Wake up as in physically wake up or came back to yourself?
No, I woke up. It was fully the morning.
Oh, you were like, asleep. Like,
I was like, what the fuck has happened?
Donna. You woke up a communist.
Yeah. So I had like no idea where I was. And I was like, oh my God, what the fuck happened?
I'm in Russia.
Yeah.
Back in USSR.
In a gulag. So then I like take out my phone. I like put in my address to whatever. I get on a bus. I fall asleep on the bus. I wake up. Oh, the bus driver is waking me up and he... The bus is back where we started. And he's like, you have to get off the bus. And my phone was dead now. So I was like, oh, fuck. So I had no idea where I was in the city. No idea how to get back home.
Oh, goodness.
So eventually I was like traipsing into like different establishments, trying to get someone to ring me a taxi. Got a taxi back to the thing. So I got back and the guy was, as I come in the door, the Italian was like, oh, my God, where the fuck did you end up? And I was like, oh, long story. And he's like, did you get my cigarettes? And I was like, no, sorry, completely forgot to do that. So anyways, then I'm like, I had a bit of time before the girls were coming. So I was like, I'll do something. Like, so I was like, I'll go get food and I'll go to like the Chopin Museum or something. So I was like walking down the street and then I went into McDonald's, bought the food or whatever. And I was like, oh, I wonder how much money I spent last night. And I looked at my bank account and there was like, I think about 300 euro that was unaccounted for. And I was like, what? Oh, and it was like ATM.
Oh.
And then it was like flashback. And I remember being at an ATM and like someone shouting at me. And like, I was like going, trying to put in my pin. So then I kind of went back in my brain and I was like, okay, I think I must have tried to get an Uber to wherever I was going. Now, I don't know what the agenda was, but I was obviously trying to get a taxi somewhere.
Mm.
I think I got sick in the Uber.
Oh.
And then the Uber guy like took me out of the car and made me get cash out to like pay for it. Because it was obviously like way too much for like a soilage. So that was that. But then anyways, I looked back on it and I was like, I was reading reviews for the strip club. And loads of people have been spiked there and beaten up because it was run by the mafia and dropped off at various parts of Warsaw.
Oh!
So I actually got away pretty lucky.
Yeah. But maybe you did get spiked.
I'm pretty sure I got spiked.
Oh my God.
Because, it was like when I left there that, and I think I've been spiked a few times because, or been around people who've been spiked as well. And, you know, you can see that
what's
out of nowhere.
What's the reward of them spiking you, beating you up and dropping you?
Well, you're in a strip club. So they spike you, they get you out of your mind and they just get you to spend a ridiculous amount.
Okay.
Because then you can't, you know, if you go home and say like, oh, the strip club rocked.
Yeah, yeah.
Like no one's going to suspect.
Yeah.
That's sorry, so I didn't realize the card part was in it. I thought they just beat you up and dropped you somewhere. I was like, what a way to get your kicks.
Yeah. What a bizarre and elaborate scheme.
Yeah. Yeah, I should.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
I should look it up so people can read the reviews for the place. But yeah, it's really bad.
Did you, how many stars did you give it?
I didn't give a review in the end.
Layla, how about you? Do you have a specific doom you'd like to share?
Yeah, I can talk about how drinking ruined my life last year a bit.
Okay.
Well, no, it didn't ruin my life. That's completely a joke. But I did have a very unfortunate incident. And it was also on a trip.
The trips get you.
I went to London to visit my very good friends, Iris Blackstone and CCTV. It was like three nights of clubbing. I don't know what it was. Anyway, so we went out one night and then we went out the following night and everything just went crazy. And I don't really remember coming home. I was staying in a hotel room in the city centre, which meant that Eris and Cece were using that as their base also.
Of course.
So there was just a lot of drinking, a lot of... At one stage, my powder broke
on the floor.
No, you're like, talking about a makeup product here. Yes. Just to clarify. Yeah.
My face powder broke on the floor and there were footsteps in the shape of my heels of powder from
my room.
I was like, these cleaners are going to fucking murder me.
That's like when people want to pretend that Santa came and they...
Honest to God. Except it was fair ivory, a one. So I woke up the next morning and I was like, my flight. And I woke up with plenty of time to get the flight as the thing. Getting CC up, we were packing and all that kind of stuff. Then the puking began.
Oh, goodness.
As I was checking out. So I did one in the toilet. I did one on at Piccadilly Circus because that's where the hotel was.
Oh,
very public. People going to work and everything.
Horrific. Oh, no, not the commuters.
I did about two more. Cece could not understand what was wrong with me. Finally, I felt well enough to get in a taxi, but I did have a compostable bag with me.
Oh,
compostable.
Mm-hmm. I'd actually brought it from Ireland. I can't remember why. Maybe my makeup was in it or something. And then, yeah, so I was driving to... I was in a taxi to the airport and then I realised I couldn't check in with Ryanair because it was too late to check in.
Oh, bastard.
Because... time. I was still so drunk that I thought I'd been puking for about 10 minutes. I'd actually been standing on the side of the road for like 40 minutes. And now that I remember it, Cece was really trying to encourage me to get in a taxi and I was not doing it. Because I was like, I'm going to get sick. So anyway, I was just like, drop me here. Because I couldn't think of anything. It was just grimness.
Okay.
So I went and I sat on a bench outside London Zoo.
Oh, what a pathetic scene.
People were walking their dogs beside me and I was puking over the side of the bench.
Oh.
People with their kids and prams and everything. No. And I just couldn't stop puking. Mm. I'm just water.
Oh.
It was getting pretty grim at this point. Then I was thinking, how the fuck am I going to get home? Because I've missed my flight. And so I had to Klarna a flight.
I was like, I'll either Klarna a hotel room or Klarna a flight.
So I chose to Klarna a flight. My savings were decimated. But I took some out of my savings, Klarna a flight, with that. Then I was like, I'm going to have to Klarna a few taxis as well. So I was like, right, well, here's my plan. I was like, because anyway, I was determined that I think I had about €200 left in my savings or something. And I was like, I'm not spending this. Mm. I was like, I'm going to... spend a third of it by Clarence. Anyway, so I got a taxi. I rang CC and I was like, I missed my flight. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, I just need to come to your house and sleep. And CC was like, yeah, come over. So I got in a taxi, went to her house. Also, I sent her my location. She was like, that's not even on the way to the airport. How did you end up there? And I was like, no idea. To be honest, I probably gave him the wrong airport. But on this taxi, I was going to CC's and I was on the motorway and... he was going very fast on the motorway and I was thinking,
Oh no.
Oh goodness.
And also you're on a motorway, so you can't ask him to pull over.
Yeah, I know, it's the worst. Yeah. Oh God.
Awful. So I remembered my compostable bag and I very quietly hurled into it. He didn't even notice.
Oh
yeah.
A lady's puke.
And at this point it was like I was just vomiting pure alcohol, so there was no like bad smell off it or anything, thank God.
Yeah.
It was
disinfected.
The vodka coming back up basically, yeah. I actually gave the windows a bit of a clean afterwards.
The taxi was literally sparkling when he got out. But
just puking into a noggin. That'll do for tomorrow.
But I was holding this compostable bag and then I was looking and it was sweating slightly. I was thinking, is the acid in my puke biodegrading the bag?
I
think that might have been what was happening. So there were little drips which I was getting into my handbag on a pile of tissues. I always have a pack of tissues with me. My grandmother taught me to do that, probably not for the same reasons that I was using it today. But and then I arrived at Cece's and she came down to get me and she was like, why do you have a bag? And I was like, is there a bin around? So I slept in hers for a few hours. Then I clarinet a taxi to the airport.
Clarinet a few compostable bags.
It's great. It works for a lot of things. Like, it's very handy that it works for
Andy
Uber.
And a pinch.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could clarinet a taxi.
You can clarinet anything.
You can clarinet an Uber.
You can clown at anything with nipples.
Not sponsored.
Sorry.
And yeah, it was one of the most miserable days of my life, I have to say. And I had such a fabulous trip, except for that, but it really ended with a crash.
Yeah, well, that was... no such thing as a free lunch, is there?
No, no.
It was... sometimes it won't stay down either.
Even with Klarna, you didn't get a free lunch.
Just paying my Klarna bill for months. But yeah, it was hard to figure out a story that I hadn't told you guys before, but I thought that one might work.
Yeah, I actually also had an experience of walking up Oxford Street in the middle of the day, non-stop puking.
We're the worst.
Which I was like, I just look like the biggest fucking yoke.
Yeah. It's not a great
going look. Up the street going,
no, yeah, no. I know. If I saw someone do that on Grafton Street, I'd be like, you fucking weirdo.
And all the English going, can I help?
Oh, did they?
No.
Like, that doesn't sound like them.
No, they love saying that at the tills. They don't say next. Oh, they go, yeah. Can I help?
How are you doing today, sir?
What about you, Annie?
Well, again, yes, yes, many, many, many options to choose from. But this was probably the most adventurous, one of them. So this was back in college days. And we were having pre-drinks in my friend's house. And it was out kind of like the Ballsbridge area. And then we were going to a place called Rio's. And I absolutely, like, tore the hole off at the pre-drinks. Like, absolutely, like... was locked leaving. Mm-hmm. And which wasn't unusual.
No, no.
Not even, not just for me. Yeah, exactly. But like, we were like stocked up, you know.
Especially in college, like, that's your drinking for the night usually.
Exactly.
So I'm kind of back in that stage now. But.
Well, you know, don't knock it. But we got to Rio's and I was already so ossified that the bouncer, it was like touch and go as to whether I would get in or not. And he was like, how many drinks did you have? And again, I don't even remember this bit, but I was like, six double vodkas. And I thought I was being hilarious by telling him loads. But for some reason, he kind of found it amusing and like just let me in anyway, but he definitely shouldn't have. But little did he know, he took a chance on me and I really fucked him over because I had also smuggled a naggin into the club.
Oh, go on.
And me and this other girl who was also locked, we thought we were dancing together, but we were actually on opposite sides of the club, just being like, wow. And I took out the bottle and brandished it in celebration.
Why on earth?
I was like, whoa! So obviously the bouncer was most perturbed by this flagrant.
It's like, wait, we don't do naggins for bottle service?
No, yeah. Especially not Tesco vodka. So then I got like... manhandled out of the place, but I only like weighed like 8 stone and your man was like a 20 stone tank, so he just like picked me up and carried me out, and I was like, wait, sorry, this is homophobic, wait. I was throwing all the cards I could find. I didn't have
good
much
for you.
No, so I got kicked out, and then two of my other friends who were in the group, they were like, oh, we're actually heading home, so we'll bring you home, come on, come to the taxi to us. Because they thought I lived near them because they were living in Inchicore, where I'm from originally, but I'd since moved to Ranelagh and I didn't tell them.
Did you know you lived in Ranelagh?
Oh, no, not Ranelagh, Rathgar. Yeah, I did, oh. Yeah. That was my first flat with
in
my
Ranelagh.
Ex. Yeah. No, Rathgar. Sorry, Rathgar.
Sorry.
Yeah. Why am I lying?
Yeah, so Ranelagh.
Yeah, so we got to like Inchicore and they're like, okay. And I was like, oh, no, I don't live here anymore.
Oh, no.
So they were like, oh, okay. So then they had to bring me to Rathgar.
College students.
Yeah,
that
I know.
That was very considerate of them.
I know.
I would have just left it. I'm like, well, good luck.
No, and that's what I would have deserved, you know. But then I got to my front door in Rathgar and I realized I had lost my keys.
Oh, Jesus.
But at that point, something kicked in where I was like, you know what? I'm saving face for the rest of the night. So I was like, I got to the door and I like was trying to get in and I was like, bye to my friends. Just like fully sent them on their way, pretended to have the keys. And then I was like, oh, I can't. So my partner at the time was like living there as well. So I was like, I can't possibly let him know that I'm got kicked out of the club and this locked and lost my keys. So I'm just going to pop back into town, back to the club, and I'll have a look for the keys and then I'll come back and nobody will know. It'll be fine. But I also, in my confusion, couldn't remember what club we'd been to.
Oh, for God.
And I thought we'd been to Coppers. So I got a taxi back into town. Oh. Straight to Coppers. Paid in to Coppers. Could not find my friends.
You're like, where's
strangely
that mean
couldn't find them. Then I was like starting to get a bit panicked because I was like, no, guys, like, where are you? This isn't funny anymore. So I went to the toilet and like went to a cubicle and just had like a little cry for a little, just like, I just felt like a little orphan Annie. Do you
were
know?
You paging them?
Paging them, yeah. I was like, where's your fax machine? And of course, like my phone battery died and I was like, it was like an old Nokia one. And so I was like, okay, what'll I do? So I'll try and get my phone charged. Then I can contact my friends whose pre-drinks I was at. I'll just crash at theirs.
Mm.
So then I started like asking people queuing for a taxi if I could swap the battery out on my phone because back then you could take the batteries out.
Yeah,
and I was
that's
like,
nice.
Can I just borrow your battery just a second, please? And people actually were so nice and they actually did offer. But I was like, no, it's not the right model. So we didn't have a compatible battery swap. Nice. So then I went to a local Londis. And I asked the people behind the counter if they had a charger, and they did. So they let me charge my phone. So I stayed in the Londis for like an hour, chatting away and like talking to the customers and all. And I was actually having quite a nice time. And then
sitting up on the counter.
Yeah. Who's next there, please?
They're like, can a Mrs. Queries come to the to aisle six, please?
Clean up on aisle six. So my phone is back charged. So then I like contacted my friend and I was like, oh yeah, and I explained the situation and he was like, oh yeah, yeah, come back here. And then for some reason I was like, I didn't know the address, but I knew where it was roughly, but I didn't know the address. So I couldn't possibly, I decided there was no way I could get a taxi.
The address of what, your house?
No, my friend's house where I was going to crash.
Okay. You didn't bring your map.
I didn't bring my map.
Which you would have had to have back then.
Literally.
Literally
you would. So I decided I would just like walk.
Mm-hmm.
But the only landmark I knew in that area was the American Embassy. So I just kept asking people like, guys, do you know where the American Embassy is? And so by hook and by crook, I did get back to the house.
To the American Embassy.
I got to the American
and
Embassy
George
because
West
I knew.
Let me sleep over.
So, because I knew if I could get the embassy, I knew where it was from there. So I got to the house and I was like, oh, thank God. You know, somebody let me in, thank God. And then there was already so many people crashing at the house that there was like nowhere for me to sleep. So I just like crawled under their dining table and just like fell asleep like the family dog. And then...
like an earthquake survivor.
Yeah, literally. And then the next day when everybody woke up, like no one knew I was there. So when I woke up, I was like, hey guys! And we were like, what the fuck? And everyone was such a terrible And but yeah, then I was grand, you know. But then I had to explain it all to my partner at the time after, and I was very, very embarrassed about the whole shenanigans.
Tail between legs.
Oh,
had
very
he contacted
much.
Les gendarmes or
what?
Had he contacted les gendarmes?
He had to pick her up at the embassy. She tried to get in again.
Thank you, Mr. Reagan.
Yeah, there's an international incident. Yeah.
Just in the embassy saying, Bush did 9/11.
Had it happened?
What?
Had it happened? Where were you 9/11? For 9/11?
Yeah. I was in college.
Where were you for 9/11?
I don't want to go into it.
I feel like this is a topic that we can just return to over and over again because honestly.
Yeah,
but I think we need a new trip.
Yeah, we do need to go on tour again.
Yeah,
we need the podcast on tour. The world is calling, girls.
Yes.
I need to end up in another marathon.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, we should all do a marathon.
Let's all be racists. Yeah. Which is the name that Donna gave to herself when she entered the marathon. Mm. Just to clarify.
She loves races.
Yeah.
Racing, I should say.
I love all races.
10Ks, 5Ks.
100 meter sprints. I'm there.
I don't see races.
Oh, she just sees medals, honey.
Yeah, I don't see races. I just see people running.
Okay, who wants to go first?
May I?
Yes, please.
Well, never stops you before.
So this one is from They Call Me Scarlet. Does alcohol make you better at anything? 21F for female. Just got drunk for the first time last night and I was playing Fortnite and I was like way better than normal at the game. And I'm pretty sure it was the alcohol, TBH. I felt relaxed and kind of confident and slightly like I didn't give a shit either. So I don't know. Does anyone else have any similar experiences? Doesn't have to be about gaming. Just curious.
Well, I'm so glad you came to us with a gaming quandary.
It's about How do time. I get past this level?
Motherload.
How old did she say she was?
21.
Oh, and it was her first time getting drunk.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Work diva. I 100% agree with this phenomenon. I've experienced the alcohol-induced superpowers. And I don't think it's to do with your perception of the situation. I do think it's to do with, like, it unlocks something.
It's how relaxed you are.
It is confidence. Yeah. Because you're not, like, doubting it or, like, second-guessing. Yeah. You're just doing.
Just
like,
going for it.
It's like, well, the whole thing of, like, if you speak another language, like, you're always way better when you're drunk. Because you're, like, you're not overthinking it. You're just, like, you mightn't be the most correct grammar or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, like, it flows out of you more because you're not, like, going, oh. Do you know?
Well, I didn't really experience this because... If we cast our minds back to a little club called The Academy that we're all too old to go to now, remember they used to have Mario Kart downstairs?
This when it was a crash?
Niall remembers. No, it used to have Mario Kart. They used to be like three floors and Mario Kart was one of them. Well, it wasn't just one of them. It was the club, but like there was a Mario Kart in the corner. And one time I queued up and played. Mm-hmm. And played for ages and then I came first and I went, yes! And this man beside me went, yes! And I was like... Why are you saying yes? And he was like, I just won. And I was like, I just won. And he was like, that was me. Then he pointed, that's you. And it was Princess Peach running into a wall. Because I forgot I'd chosen Peach. Just completely went, look, I'm so good. And was apparently doing the exact same moves as this man.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
And I've never played Mario Kart since.
Okay, I don't think that was just... I'm not sure that classifies as a superpower more than just delusion.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I don't relate to this at all.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I definitely remember times where, like, I wouldn't consider myself very athletic or agile. But... No. when I'm drunk, like, I get very nimble. Like... I've like scaled buildings. I remember in Barcelona scaling buildings in Las Ramblas.
Parkour.
Like up to like the third or fourth floor, like climbing like Assassin's Creed. Like I was like, because it was like these grates over the window, and I was like, I can just keep going.
Spider-Man.
And then I think a policeman shouted at me, and I had to get down.
Oh my God, hasn't Catalonia been through enough?
I also scaled the wall to get into her apartment with anxiety one night.
Here?
What? Yeah. So
no.
They're like, so there's like a boundary wall in our apartment complex and they brought in a gate and the gate, you had to ring it to get in, but my phone was dead. So I was with anxiety and I was like, oh, it's grand. I'll just like scale the wall and I can open it. So scaled the wall and was like tight roping along it. And then this guy... who lives in our block, who always seems to catch me at the worst times. So I was
There's always one of those.
Yeah. I was there in full face just going, no, it's locked. You can't get in. You can't get in. And he just went up to the gate and pushed it and it just opened.
It was open.
It was open.
Oh,
you joke.
I tend to be, we've discussed this as well, Dan, as well. I tend to be much better at pulling when locked.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're just going around like you're just like, the one, you know.
Yeah, well, blackouts are where I'm most successful.
Yeah.
You're very hyper-focused when you're drunk. I have noticed that about you, Annie.
And I am.
Yeah, and sometimes if there's an attractive man around and you try and converse with Annie, she just looks at you like, why are you interrupting me?
Oh, really? That's so bad.
Yeah, you're like, boy, boy. Oh my God. Do you say something about a boy?
Oh dear, yeah, I can see that from my... I do, yeah.
You get very starry-eyed, but it's not a bad
That's
thing.
That's true.
I like it.
Because we were in Sitges last year. Do you remember that kept happening?
Yes, yeah. But it every kept night.
Happening. Yeah, it kept happening to one man every night, but always unavailable. Not on the market. And me just absolutely be like, you're so hot. No, but you're just so hot. So embarrassing.
Yeah,
the
just doe-eyed going,
just
tell me more about you.
You have such nice teeth. Like, just shut up. Yeah. But that's not one of my pulling success stories. But we were in Manchester last year, and I at one point in the club I was just like, just wafting around, just lobbing the gob, and I was great. I felt amazing.
They're the best nights.
Yeah,
where you're just being passed around like a basket of mass. Jesus Christ.
Oh, we didn't give them any advice, did we?
Who cares? They don't really need advice. They're just wondering, is this a thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, good. Okay,
definitely
good.
As well. I don't think we're qualified to give advice on Fortnite.
On Fortnite.
Okay, I have one from I See You Baby Guinness.
Shaking that ass.
And it's about a friend bringing up embarrassing drunk moments.
Ooh.
Which is a pet peeve of mine, I will say. So this is,
I think
this
I know
is
this
close
about
to
you,
home.
Yeah. We've had this conversation before.
Yeah, I
so
just think
just skip it. I'm just kidding.
My close friend from college would regularly send me really cringy drunk snaps of me that she took of me from 4 to 5 years ago.
Oh, what?
Yeah, when I was 21, 22. I can laugh at myself, but it's pretty regularly she will do that. Or just bring up an embarrassing story about me. I also don't love that she filmed me because part of me feels like even at the time when she took the videos, she was doing it to slag me off. Maybe I'm being hypersensitive, but my gut sense is that it's a bit. There's a bit of shade in it. I'm now in my later 20s, living in NYC. Oh,
go on.
Work diva. And overall past the party phase, but I still feel like she categorizes me to be the same person I was at 21.
Well, I like how she just threw in the humble brag of living in NYC, which is completely not relevant. She's just like,
I'm like, now I live in New York.
It's just when I'm in Manhattan.
But this carry on is definitely drives me crack too.
And
it's always a certain type of person that does it. They're never the one that gets that messy. But I had a friend who seemed to have an entire back catalogue of videos of everyone else drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, doing embarrassing things. And, like, okay, sometimes, you know, when someone's being gas, it's, like, good to capture it. But, like, to be, like, straight away in with, like, look at this.
Yeah.
Also, seeing a video of yourself in blackout is, like...
traumatizing.
Oh, my God, no, it's, like, Uncanny Valley, like...
Yeah, it hurts your brain. Yeah,
it's really strange, yeah.
No, because you're just like, who's that? Who's that?
Yeah.
Because that person looks like me, but I don't remember doing any of that or being there, being with those people. Oh, it's so scary. So I think what this person should do is to spike that friend.
Honestly.
And then film them and take lots of embarrassing pictures. And maybe she could like pose her in like different scenarios.
Yeah.
Or maybe she wouldn't even have to spike her. Maybe she could just Photoshop and just be like, you know what? If you send me one more, I'm going to send this video.
Or
this deep fake of you.
Take it further. Like,
yeah, a deep fake of her like being racist or something.
Like Darren Brown her.
Or like riding a sheep or something.
Yeah. But it does sound like your one has a lot of material on this one, so she'll probably have to spike her for like a month straight.
Yeah.
Invite her to NYC for a month. Get her drunk for a whole month and then dump her in Mexico.
Or wait till she's engaged. Invite her to come over to New York for like a fun girls weekend.
Yes.
Okay. Then hire a series of actors to like take over a nightclub or whatever. And then basically get her really drunk. Wake up the next day with some random guy that you've hired to play and thing, and then have a video camera rolling so that there's video evidence of her cheating, and then just be like, gotcha. And then say, I'm going to send that to your engagee fiance.
Maybe the whole situation should culminate in like a potential shootout. And when
that's
like,
what I mean.
And when the gun shoots, it says, gotcha, on a flag.
Yeah. She could make her wake up, think she's murdered someone, there's a body beside her. Then she like, she tries to escape back to her country. A car pulls over, they're like, you murdered the wrong guy. Yeah. And then they shoot and gotcha.
Like Inception, when they build the dreams. They have to fulfill the task in the dream do that, yeah. But it's real life.
Honestly, and any more help that you need, do reach out, because we're very good at stuff like this.
And also, Layla is a professional actress.
Oh, yes. So,
yes, you get a good gig out of this.
Do you want to hear my Jordan Baker? Well, I don't care. He gives large parties, and I like large parties. They're so intimate. Small parties, there isn't any privacy.
Yay!
Thank you.
Very good.
And the BAFTA goes to.
And you could also play multiple characters, too.
Mm. This is from Two in the Lush. Dear Doomslayers, I black out whenever I drink and can't stop excessive binge drinking. I have problems with binge drinking and have for most of my life. I'm not some non-functioning alcoholic who drinks daily or even weekly, but whenever I do drink, I take it way too far. Essentially blacking out whenever I drink. I don't know how much I drink in a session, but it's an incredible amount. It always leads to problems with me acting out or embarrassing myself, but I'm at a point where it's causing me pretty big issues, and I've fallen out with some longtime friends and even have had to move out of my current flat because of something I did while very drunk.
Oh.
So that is not a problem I feel like should be taken lightly.
No.
I do, like, drink has always suited me personally.
Mm. I think it just doesn't suit some people.
Yeah, yeah, I no, like to absolutely. Think if it didn't, that I'd be able to stop.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who can't.
Well, you know, like, it depends on your threshold as well, like, in terms of, like, whether you're a lightweight or heavyweight or whatever. Like, do you know, I think if you are someone who's a lightweight, like, it's much harder because, you know, by halfway through the night, you're at the stage that maybe someone will be at the very end of the night.
Yes.
But also, there are some people that, like, just should not drink, like, because it just brings out, like, either they're too chaotic or, like, they're too mean or, oh, yeah. Do you know what I hate?
Drunks.
What? The people that are like,
are you mad at me?
Oh!
I feel like you're mad at me. Oh. And they get stuck on a, like, a broken record. Stuck
yeah,
on a loop.
And it's like, you know, yeah. You're making me fucking mad at you.
Yeah.
Because you won't shut the fuck up.
Somebody yeah. started that with me in the George the other week. And I was like, I've met you twice in my life.
And they were like, last time we met, I felt like you were so annoyed at me. And I was like, I don't even remember last time we met. Like, will you shut up?
Why would you talk to Connor Bean like that?
No, yeah. It's Devine on the mic.
I do think it's a real skill to know. Like, I'm pretty good now, but that's the age I'm at now. I think of, like, being like, oh, I'm too drunk. I need to drink water for the foreseeable or dance or get some air or just stop ordering drinks at the bar for a while, basically. But there's, it's shit. But, like, it's not a good thing. Obviously, if you're getting kicked out of your flat, that's pretty...
Yeah, it does take a while. Well, I think most people can, that skill kicks in after a while. Because when you're younger, you're just drinking for fun. You're not really thinking about it. But then, like I definitely get to a point now where I'm like, wait. Or if I can feel myself getting into, like, woozy territory, I'm like, okay, let's not go there.
Yeah.
Or, like, do I actually need this? No, I'm actually grand. I'm grand to not have this round. And then you can, do you know if you feel you're, like, losing your touch with what's going on,
then
it's nicer to kind of take a step back, and then you can kind of continue at a better pace.
Exactly, because it's not fun. Like, you just wake up feeling horrible the next
day. Not anymore, because, like, okay, when you're a kid or whatever, teenager, it's like,
I drank so much last night, and I was so drunk. What was I doing last night?
Whereas that's not fun anymore, because you're just being annoying.
It just gets undignified.
Mm.
Definitely.
But I'm going to admit, I'm basically, I really relate to that person. I think I have the same relationship with alcohol as they do.
What?
Yeah. No, because I've had so many, all my regrets in life around my behaviour are always when I was in blackout or drunk. I can stand by most of the stuff that I do when I'm sober or like, but just alcohol, I don't know. It just sends me very chaotic as well.
Do you think that's who you're around though? Because we've never seen, well, I don't know about you, Donna, but I've never seen that side of you, and I've drunk with you a lot.
Well, I don't know. No, it's the calls are definitely coming from inside the house.
I've seen a very petulant side to you when you're drunk.
Yes, I've seen that.
But that's funny. Fun.
Yeah, really fun.
It's just like a whingy brat.
Yeah. But no, I don't really do bad, I don't necessarily do bad things, but like I have done things that like upset people and stuff, and like I would have a lot of regret over that.
Yeah,
and
that's shit.
For me, like, I think what's sort of, like, changed things is, like, I used to kind of use it as, like, a stress relief because I used to be very stressed all the time, very anxious, very never up the walls.
Highly strung.
And just, like, up hysterical. The walls constantly. And then if I had a drink, it would seem to offer a reprieve where, you know, your thoughts slow down and you can kind of like let loose and like stop trying to keep everything together, do you know? But actually it just kind of like creates a different sort of turmoil.
Yeah, I always think of it as like it makes everything go a bit lighter, but then it like really comes down with a thump. So it's like absolutely. You've just made everything heavier actually in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah, and it also, it can, you know, bring some of the scum to light, you know.
Well, drinking from stress makes you mean drink, I think.
Yeah. Or like, do you know, how you go in can be what you bring to the forefront. Like, exactly. You know, and you know, I've anything really bad I've done when I was drunk, like in a blackout or stuff like that, like I like really mean or something like that, I'm like, what the fuck was that about? And it's like always about something else, like, but it just happens that the alcohol was kind of bringing that out, you know.
Yeah, and I just think like if you're gonna like soak your brain in like this inhibitory substance and you're gonna be operating at like, you know when your computer is like about to crash, so you have to like boot it up in some like weird safe mode, and it's like just doing the basic apps to be on.
Yeah.
So that when you're in that mode, it's definitely not gonna be the best of you, the rational side of you. It's not gonna be any of that. It's gonna be some weird like loads of default settings that haven't really been updated in years and haven't been defragged in years. Defragged. If anyone knows what that means. But also, like, when I used to drink, same thing, like, I couldn't really, like, just, like, have a few. It would, like, I think it would spark a sense of euphoria. Because I'd be super, like, happy to be locked. And then I would just be overexcited, and then I'd be like more, and then by the time I'd like had loads, it's already far too late to like make any good decisions, so then I would just keep going. But it's, I don't know, you kind of just, what changed for me was like just feeling better on a day-to-day basis meant I didn't really want to like jeopardize that as much with the crash or the chaos, do you know. It wasn't That's as enticing it.
Sometimes you have to make a mistake a few times to realize that it's really not serving you.
But you feel like you're gonna be sacrificing like fun or like enjoyment if you don't do that.
Totally.
But it's actually, that's all delusion, because you're not necessarily having fun or enjoyment when you're in a blackout.
No, you're not.
There's a lot of chase and highs as well with like drinking, because I think you literally get like such a good high like whenever you start drinking, because you're like, this is all new and exciting and whatever, and it's like, wow, I can feel like this anytime I want, like, but then it just becomes like a thing because you don't get the same high off it, and then you can get to a point where you're like, am I even having fun?
With that person, I would just say, assuming you've tried to get control over it, it probably is an idea to stop. And if you're having trouble stopping, then seek resources for help.
Yeah, get a hand, because it's hard. And especially if like your whole social life is built around that, and your social circle might be built around that.
Definitely.
So it's going to be very challenging, and you know, you're not alone.
Yeah. And I have sober friends, and I actually love them. Isn't that mad?
Imagine they're not boring. Imagine boring actually comes from your personality, not from your drinking.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah. I still, like, the odd time you will talk to someone and you'll be like, oh, my friend, and she's sober, and they'll be like, ew. And I'm like, that's not cute.
Yeah.
That's not cute. We're too old for that shit. To be like, mocking sober people.
I think being sober is so fierce, because you are absolutely raw-dogging reality at all times. Like, that is so brave.
Yeah.
And strong.
Yeah.
Do you know?
I do laugh when I think about that dinner that we went on, though, and we were in that gorgeous restaurant.
And fortunately, that's all we have time for this week on Doomslayers. If you would like to share your doom with us, please follow the link in our bio on Instagram at DoomslayersPod. And remember,
your energy is yours, mine is mine.
Doomslayers are not responsible for any injuries, impalements, prolapses, tweakments, fissures, timeshares, negative equity, large hadron collisions, small servings, epiphanies, or failed two-step verifications. Hereunto experienced and or endured by the listener in response to any advice administered and witness whereof the parties hereunto have set their hands to these presents as a deed on the day, month, and year hereunto before mentioned. Doomslayers Inc. is a subsidiary of Hunky Farm and Calendars Limited, which is a registered trademark acquisition of Fatherly Fond and Fancies and Son. Any attempts to slander or sodomize the Doomslayer name could result in cancellation of any outstanding prize bonds and or death.